I'd like to invite you today to study the Word of God with us. It's time for the truth. We enjoy studying the precious Word of God verse by verse, and we're in the book of Jonah. We're going to be reading this morning verse 1 in the first chapter, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 12, and I'd love for you to read along with me if you would please. While you're finding that in your precious Word, your precious Bible, I ask that you... I can share with you, this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. We do enjoy having you in the services. If you do not have a church home, I invite you to come. If you have a church home, please be in your church home this week. The precious scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling, and please that you do not do that. You're missing a blessing if you're not in the house of God. If you are in the house of God, you're studying the Word of God, you're hearing the gospel presented, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I praise the Lord, and you search for the truth and the precious Word. But if you're in a church home that does not preach the gospel, this time is too short, so I invite you to come here or to search out another church somewhere that preaches the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection stands upon the truth, the Word of God, and understands the power and the presence of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Please that you look for a church home like that, and I hope the church that you're in is just like that. If it isn't, please that you come here. We have Sunday school at 9:30. Church service is 10:35. We have Bible studies on Sunday night at 7 and on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We have a ladies' Bible study at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. So please that you listen to the Word of God, listen to the truth this morning. And again, I just ask you that you do not forsake the assembling together. It's important that you have a church home. It's important that they proclaim the Word of God, because today is too short and we need to listen unto the Word of God. Now, if you've had an opportunity to open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, we're going to read the first 12 verses. You've heard these many times if you've been with us the last several weeks. If you have not been along, this will be the first time. Oh, there's so much in this precious book. So please, Jonah chapter 1, reading verse 1 to verse 12. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger of being broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, let's cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and from where comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do for thee? The sea, that the sea may be calm unto us, for the sea raged with tempest. And he said to them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Oh, the reading of the sweet, precious word. Let's go with the Lord in prayer, that we can enjoy the study and that he can bless it and use it in our hearts. And Father, I ask that you would guide and lead us today. I ask that you will touch each one of our hearts. You know today, Father, who is listening, and you know how much joy and pleasure I receive from the study of this precious word and from this sweet book. I ask that you will just touch every heart, and you'll change every life, that folks will come to know, they'll meet you, And we know, Jesus, that such a simple act, come by faith and meet you at the cross of Calvary. Please, Lord, that you'll touch the hearts of each and every one that's listening. Again, that they'll come to know and come to grow in you, Lord Jesus. Now, please, that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, that we will be obedient to your will and way, and we'll do your will today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have went down through these sweet words and studied them, we've spent much time on certain words. We've talked about Jonah. We've talked about Amittai. We've talked about arise. We've talked about the city of Nineveh, the size that it is, and where it's located in relationship to where Jonah was called to go preach against it. And again, we have the words in verse 2. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, we've spent a lot of time visiting and fellowshipping over those words because it's so important that we know the word of the Lord. Today, we've got many people coming from many different directions that have an awful lot of ideas about what this precious word tells us. Some folks tell us that you've got to be very smart to understand the word of God. My friend, you've got to have a willing heart. And you've got to turn your heart unto the Lord Jesus, surrender to him, and be saved. And once you have accepted that perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus went to the cross, remember the sweet gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We know that it's precious. We know that it's sweet because I have trusted in the gospel and I was saved over 20 years ago. And I love talking about Jesus. I love visiting about Jesus because I know he lives within my heart. Because I have searched his precious word and I know the truths to be there. And as the Holy Spirit then comes, God himself comes to live within you to guide and to lead you. So you see, you have the power to study the word of God. You have someone to teach you. And yes, you know how much I talk about the local church and how important it is to be in a church home and study and search the word of God and enjoy the word of God. You know that. You've heard that. You've understood that. But have you done it? Have you followed through with it? Now here, the word of the Lord, the truth, the words have come unto Jonah. Now, the word comes unto you when you're called to be saved. The word comes unto you if you're called for service. The word comes unto you if you're called to quit some sin that you're involved in, believer. If you've come to Jesus, but you've kept some of the things of the world, and he just continues to shake you up and continues to try to pull you and draw you away from the word of God, away from the church of God, then please, I ask you that you will surrender to no other than Jesus. Listen to the word of God, the truth. And don't listen to the lies that you can... People can send you so many different directions over this precious word. And they make you feel like that you're not educated enough, you're not trained enough, you've not been taught that you can understand the word. Well, again, if you're saved, if you've come to know Jesus at the cross, met him where he was crucified for you and that sacrifice was offered, then everything comes to you and you have that Holy Spirit. Now search the word. Now if you're saying something out of your mouth or something you're reading is contrary to the word of God, then you know it's a lie. And maybe it's some dream or some vision that you had. Well, my friend, it's not of God if it's anything contrary to the word of God. We have it complete here. We have it full, and I enjoy and praise God for this precious word. And we have it different than some of the times during the Old Testament times. They didn't have the word of God complete. It wasn't complete and full, but it is today. This is it. There is no other books. There's no other references. This is the precious living word. So I ask that you study it. I ask that you look to it, that you search it, that you know without a doubt that it's everything you need. And as you look at the word of God, in the ninth verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. There's many things that has taken place through the word of God, but it was at that time. Now we have the full, the complete word of God. Now, here with Jonah, Jonah listened unto the Lord. He spoke to him. We have the word. And so don't trust on some vision. Don't trust on on anything that man tells you, confirm it in the Word of God to know it to be true or to be false. Please look to the Word of God. The Word came to Jonah. It came to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Now his message to these people, his message was very clear, and cry against it. And we have over here in the third chapter of Jonah, verse 3, and it said, and Jonah rose up and went to Nineveh. You'll find the story is complete when he does decide to go a little later. According to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the message. Repent. You know, Jonah, as we've talked about, did not like Nineveh. He did not like the Ninevites. He didn't want to tell them any good news. And so this was kind of a fun message for Jonah. Isn't that a sad statement, that he would rather see these people destroyed than saved? But this message that he come to them, in 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. Now that doesn't sound much like repent and be saved, does it? It says in 40 days you'll be overthrown. What about your life? What about if somebody would say to you, in 40 days you're going to be destroyed? How would your life change? What would you do? Would you go out and borrow all the money you could borrow and buy everything you could buy because you knew in 40 days as it? Would you do as the rich farmer, that is, he was having such a good crop that he decided he would tear his barns down and build bigger so that he had room for his grain, for his harvest, and then I'm going to just eat, drink, and be merry. But God said today, your soul is going to need to be taken care of. And it was too late. Because everything he had, everything he wanted was wealth and money and position. Now that's a lot of things today. But what would happen? Face your own heart today. Think about it. What would you do if you got those words in 40 days? In 40 days. That's going to be it. None of us are promised tomorrow. But we all think we're going to live for a long time. But 40 days would be your limit. Wouldn't that be something if you'd hear those words and you'd say, 40 days. Well, I hope that your eyes are open. I hope that you're thirsty. We've been studying that now between 1 Thessalonians and the second chapter, verse 13, and then Isaiah 55, the first verse. That as we hear the Word of God, our eyes are opened. We become thirsty, become dissatisfied with this world, and you call upon, you look unto the Lord. Now I hope that you're to that place, that you won't just go out and grab everything of this old life you can get a hold of. I hope that you turn your heart unto the Lord and repent. Now we'll find that that's what Nineveh did. Now that wasn't the message. Jonah said in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. And then he kind of sat back and watched it to take place. Well, that was the message. For their wickedness has come up before me. It was so evident in the eyes of God, the wicked city of Nineveh, that God knew he had to send a preacher. And so he called this man Jonah, that he would go to Nineveh, that he would preach against it. That was the call. Preach against their wickedness. The wickedness has come up before me. Cry against it, the scripture says here in verse 2. Again, I hope if you would face the fact that you've only got 40 days. I don't know how long you've got. You maybe have a day, 2 days, 10 days, 10 years, 50 years. I don't know how much time you have left. No one does. But there's going to be a day that you're going to stand before Jesus. Either you can stand with him and he's going to be your Savior and Lord, or you can stand against him because he's going to be your judge. Now which is it going to be? You know, in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, John the Baptist had a message, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark chapter 1 verse 15, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Believe it. Mark chapter 6, verse 12. Went out and preached. The man should repent. Now, I'm telling you what, when he went out to say, except ye repent, preach, the man should repent. Now, do you know when you're listening to the Word of God, to repent means to turn. Turn from your wicked ways, sinner, and turn unto Jesus. Turn around. Now, Jonah, when he preached to them, he said, go cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And then again in the third and fourth verse of chapter 3 of Jonah, it tells that he went, he said, in 40 days. Now, we looked at all the things that 40 days stand in example through the Scripture. 40 days is a completeness. 40 days is a time, as they had in Numbers, to search the land. They were given 40 years as judgment when they decided not to. And you know, as we look at 40 is a test time. Well, at 40 days, they were told, I'm going to destroy you in 40 days, and let's just see what you do. Well, every one of us got to face that same situation, but I ask that you turn. Now, in Luke 13, verses 3 and in verse 5, it's the same. Except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. We have in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 26, verse 20, repent. And turn to God. Now, will you change your life? Now, this call here goes to Nineveh. The call comes to us the same way. Whether we have a judgment call, and we don't know that we're going to have a day or 10 days or 10 years or 100 years. As we listen to the radio program, different things. Why, I heard the other day a man say that one of these days, not long, we're going to live to be 150 years old. Well, is that how long it's going to take you to come to Jesus? Why don't you come today that you have life? This call to Nineveh from Jonah the prophet, repent. No, there's going to be judgment upon you in 40 days. That's what he said. Well, my friend, there's going to be judgment on you. I can't say 40 days because I don't know the time limit of your life. But there will be a judgment. And I ask that Jesus take that place for you, because he has already completed all the work of redemption for you. He has done everything. He has lived a perfect life. He has been the perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross for you. He was placed in that grave 3 days and three nights and yet did not see corruption. He came out of that grave alive. And he said, touch me. I'm no spirit. Touch me. I'm the resurrected Jesus. I'm alive. And we have his precious blood upon the mercy seat in heaven as Jesus presented it unto his Father. It's complete in all the pictures we had through Exodus and Leviticus. It's a beautiful picture that we have of what Jesus has done for you and for me. Well, is that what you're going to trust in? Is Jesus? Because he's offering as a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you going to trust in that gift? Well, let's see what the Ninevites did. Let's see what they took care of. They were given 40 days. Arise, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger of being broken. What happened to this urgent call, this urgent plea that Jonah is to give Nineveh? their wickedness has already come up before the Lord. And he asked this man, this prophet Jonah, to go and proclaim to them, to tell them, to plead with them, in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. In 40 days. My friend, what took place in Jonah's heart? What took place in Jonah's life that would desire him to run away from a call God had given him? Remember verse 1? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. What's keeping you from the service of God? What's keeping you from being involved in the church of God, in the house of God? What's keeping you from telling people that Jesus saves? What's keeping you from telling people that beautiful, sweet story that Jesus died on the cross? He died there for you, and all you got to do is come by faith. And that precious word goes out and touches that heart and opens those eyes. Brings a thirst to your lips so that you must come. And then you've got a decision. The call is there. The opportunity is there. Then what are you going to do with it? Are you going to come? Are you going to deny it as that dear friend of yours comes and shares the gospel? Are you going to run them off? Says, I don't believe that. That's not what my church preaches, so I don't want it. Well, that's what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what your church says. It's what the Word of God says. Now, I ask that you look to that. But, you know, these people in Nineveh aren't going to hear the story, are they? Because Jonah's on the run. Oh, what a message this is to most of us. Because most of us is on the run. We're running away. Let's see what we can learn from Jonah. If we're all on the run, we ought to be able to learn something from him, shouldn't we? Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Ah. You know, there's a sweet message here to learn, and that is, number one, when we turn our back on God, when he asks us to do something, or he calls us to come to salvation, and we say no, or again, he inquires of us to quit doing something or start doing something, whatever he wants us to do, and we've ignored that call. We've ignored what he has asked us to do. What happens? We do not stay right there on that level. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've come to Jesus by faith and you're truly saved. You know it because the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. You know all that. But you're not listening to him. You're not doing what he's calling you to do. Well, you're not staying on one plateau. You're not getting more spiritual, not getting less spiritual, because that's probably the opinion you have. I can just stay right here. Nobody really knows I'm a believer. Nobody really expects me to go out and to witness. Nobody expects me to knock on the door of my neighbor's house and ask him if I can come in and share a sweet message of salvation to him. Nobody really knows that I'm a believer. And I just want to stay that way. I don't want somebody to say they're too religious. And so let's kind of be quiet. And so you see what happens then. We back up. Well, we can't stay the same. You're either going forwards closer to the Lord Jesus and upward, or you're going downward. Jonah got the word of the Lord in verse 1. Heard the plea. He got up. Great move. But he went the wrong way. He went down. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. That's where the ship was going to be. Oh, my friend, if you want to run away from God, Satan's always got a ship right there for us. He always gives us means to get away so quickly. And it says here that he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare, and he went down into it. You get the drift here? Every time you're running away from the Lord, you're going down. Every time he calls you to do something and you say no, you're going the opposite direction that Jesus wants you to. You cannot stay on a level plane. You're either going up or you're going down. Jonah had a plea to go to Nineveh. That whole city, that great city, and great in only by strength and by power and by numbers and by wickedness, Jonah was called to go. Again, he didn't like those people. He didn't want to tell them. You'd have thought he'd have liked to told them that message, but you know, he hated them so much he wasn't even going to give God the time to go. I'm not going to go and tell them. They won't listen anyway. Does that sound like some excuses that we use? They won't listen anyway, so why would I take the time to tell them that Jesus saves? My husband won't listen to me, so I'm not going to tell him. He's heard it. Well, maybe he needs to hear it from you. And maybe he needs to see it in your life. Husband, maybe your wife needs to see Jesus in you. And you need to very lovingly, very caringly, with all the love Jesus has, tell her that Jesus died, that you could be saved. And I want you to be saved, because I want you to go to heaven. And I want you to have the joy and the peace that Jesus has to offer. Or maybe you're talking to your children, or maybe you're talking to your neighbor, maybe you're talking to your friends. Or as I shared last week, maybe you're even talking to an enemy. That enemy needs Jesus. That enemy needs to be saved. Please, that you tell them, don't do us, Jonah, don't run away. Several things here. Go down, you go down. Satan always gives you the means. Isn't it something, there's a ship right there. But you know, you can never run away from God that it doesn't cost you. Never. It always costs you. There's some things that are always the same. Number one, when you turn from Him, you're running away. You're going down. You're not staying again on this even plane. You're going down. You're going down. Anytime you turn your back on God, you know what else happens? It costs you. And I'm telling you from experience, you cannot afford to turn your back on God. You can't turn your back on Jesus. You can't afford it. The price is too high. Jonah went down. Jonah went down. And he paid the fare and went down again into the ship to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger of being broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, isn't that something? Jonah ran away from the Lord. He went down. Again, you can't stay the same. You go down. It always costs you. There's always a price that to be paid when you leave the power and the presence of God. Jonah paid that price. It cost you. He went down a little further. And now he's added something else. He's jeopardized the very life of these sailors. They were so afraid that they started dumping off all the goods that they had on the ship to save their own lives. I hope, believer, that I'm scaring you a little bit today. Because I don't want you to walk away from God. I've known an awful lot of folks that have done it. In every case, they went down. Every case, it cost them. And in every case, they took someone with them. And you know, the sad thing is, my friend, sometimes those people that you take with you never return. Maybe that's a lost person that was watching you, and when you turned away from God and you came back down on their level, you brought them down with you one more time, and they never, ever had an opportunity to see Jesus in you again. And they died without Jesus. My friend, when you walk away, you go down. When you walk away, it costs you. When you walk away, you continue to go down. When you walk away, you take somebody with you. What's the cost? What's the cost that you decide not to serve Jesus? And you know, that's the saddest thing, because Jesus wants the best for you. He has offered it all upon the cross of Calvary. He's offered it all that we might live and live a peaceful, joyful, wonderful life. He wants the best, and He knows the best because He knows tomorrow. My friend, why are you staying away from Jesus? Or why are you running away from Jesus? That's a simple, sweet question. What are you going to do about that Jesus?